Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, good morning to you. Not a good Phillies morning. Just isn't. So, Sanchez, you heard in the update there. I mean, man, we'll say, James, I know you are very concerned.
Very concerned. Yeah, forearm tightness and Tommy John have a strong link. Yeah. You know, now look, it doesn't mean it's not a lock. Like, it's not.
Right.
I'm saying he's definitely getting Tommy John, but what I'm saying is that injury scares me a lot, and I think there's a legitimate possibility that Christopher Sanchez might have to get Tommy John soon.
Oh boy. John, the game last night, other than, you know, that, it's got to be, you know, the main other thing's got to be all the dudes just not getting hits with runners in scoring position and stuff, right?
I mean, the offense.
That's a thing?
Endlessly frustrating.
How about Alec Boehm having one walk this season? This season.
That's incredible.
That is incredible.
He has one walk.
And Mark still doesn't have a hit, right?
And no home runs, obviously. Right. Like 6-5, 2 whatever. Right. Like, guy can't hit a homer. One walk. Alec Boehm has one walk all season. Isn't that amazing?
April 23rd.
Isn't that amazing?
And the season started in March. Started in late March. That's horrible, James. Look, we'll take your reaction on all of it. 215-592-9490.
Can someone ask him why?
Devin Caney, Phillies reporter.
Ah, someone indeed.
I can try to ask Alec Boehm. I don't know if I'll get an answer. He's not the most chatty person on the team. Yeah. But look, he's on a 8-game hitting streak. So he's at least touching the ball. He's at least making contact with the ball.
His defense
has been much improved. Yeah. So that's more than a lot of guys can say. It's more than Trey Turner can say.
Yes, it is. All right, one other thing.
Probably
I want
to. Not the time to say it to Alec.
What?
Hit a home run, dude. Are you serious? Yeah. How big are you? Like, James, you can't hit home runs?
James, what did I say about 3 years ago?
Concave chest. You were so right, Joe.
Concave chest.
Nailed it.
Wait,
nailed
what?
Nailed it. Yeah.
So
the guy can't hit home runs. He's huge.
All right, there was there's a photograph of Alec Boehm a couple years ago on the beach. You know, shirtless. And
this is unbelievable.
Coming from
real
me,
pot kettle
I'm really curious
here.
To see where this
coming
is going.
From me, this
did
is a little.
Did you say he had a sizzle chest?
No, I said concave. Concave chest.
He said I'm concerned about Alec.
You might have said sizzle chest.
I didn't say sizzle chest.
I think Alec Boehm's sizzle chest.
Okay, well you
sizzle chest.
I don't even know what a sizzle chest is.
I don't know what that is either. Yeah.
John's trying to make it extremely uncomfortable here.
It seems like it's working for what it's worth.
So concave. My point, Devin, was like I just don't see enough
bulk.
Yeah, bulk.
Yeah, so you're okay. We're out here, Mr. Can barely work out for 30 minutes criticizing professional athletes' bodies.
Three words. Ready, Devin? Me working out. Three words. In a groove.
Oh, wow.
I am.
How many miles were we up to?
I walked yesterday for 2 hours.
That's actually a very long time.
Iron. I was on the freaking Stairmaster thing yesterday.
You pumped iron?
Not Stairmaster. The whatever that thing, I don't know how you call it.
Joe DeCamera.
It's a phrase that you can't use.
Oh, the step thing. Yes. Okay, that's hard.
I did that thing.
That's hard.
My head was almost touching the ceiling in the room. I was up. That was high up there.
Yeah, those are fun. Yeah, you get a good view.
All right, let's go to phones.
Hey, hold on.
What?
How do you pump iron?
Dude, like Schwarzenegger.
What are you doing when you're pumping iron?
Well,
Joe pumping 5-pound weights.
I set the thing to 10.
Sets of 3.
10
No, seriously. Is it a...
Come on, man.
Like you can do multiple full body exercises
reps,
on a...
sets!
A machine?
I'm a machine!
Uh-huh.
You are the machine. Yeah, that's right. That was good.
Let's go to the phone. Wasn't Pat Brohl known as the machine? Am I remembering that right?
It sounds familiar.
Of his many.
Yeah.
Pat the Bat.
I don't think it had to do with hitting. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
Hitting what?
Getting burled. Let's go to the phone.
Yes.
I'm just saying. All right. Jason Kelsey in here shortly. Up. Phone calls. Ed in Phoenixville. Ed, good morning.
Good morning, Team Joe. And this is not a dig on you. Your journey, if you want to say that, is really kind of inspired me to get back to the gym. I pumped some iron today.
Good for you. It's a little early in the day for that, but I'm impressed.
I want to compliment you and cheer you on, Ed.
Are you calling Joe inspirational?
To be honest, like my biggest thing, I'm trying to lose weight. Like just getting to the gym regularly is like,
hey,
a good portion of the battle, you know?
Huge. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Just get there. And you know what? The first day that you take the bait and you don't go gives you like an additional permission to do it the next time. So just don't ever give yourself that cheat.
Ed, let me tell you something. Last night, and I guess it was during the Phillies game, I could be wrong. At some point last night, I saw a McDonald's commercial. Oh, the Big Mac looks so good. I was so tempted. And then I remembered our show, my quest to beat Fritz, my quest to get in shape. And I did not go to or order the McDonald's Uber Eats. Standing ovation for the hammer. Thank you. Mm. And not a standing ovation for our baseball team, though. What do you got on the fields of the Eagles? Talk to us.
Yeah, well, fact-checking, Devin, it's a 9-9 game hitting streak. 9.
Oh, we're up to 9 now. There you go.
Yeah, buddy.
For Bomer?
No, but I...
They are niner in there?
Yeah, I'm not calling from a walkie-talkie, but there's so much craziness going on in the world with our teams, and I just, when I look at the box score and I see, like, the two human white flags in Romano and Carlos Hernandez with scoreless relief innings, and obviously the Sanchez injury is really scary. I hope he's okay. It's just, I'm just looking for some calm, and I think as it pertains to the NFL draft, just take the best edge rusher or the best offensive lineman and give us some sanity. Don't try to be the smartest person in the room. Don't do the Giglio take of going for Jalen Milroe. Just pick the guy from SEC who's a 5-star recruit and be done with it. Like, that's just need some calm in our sports world.
Well, listen, yeah, look, Howie deserves an incredible amount of faith and has it. I mean, I don't ever remember a GM having more, that the fan base has more faith in a GM than he does right now. Get from the fan base because he's been phenomenal. And obviously the last 4 drafts in particular have been outstanding. But just the overall team, I mean, they've made the playoffs 7 out of the last 8 years. That's hard to do, man. John, salary cap age in the NFL? That's hard to do.
And then you add in 2 Super Bowl wins and 3 appearances.
Absolutely.
It's incredibly impressive.
Correct. All right, Ed, I need an answer from you, man.
It's not stopping, Joe. It's not stopping anytime soon. I think that Howie continues to improve in his methodology.
I agree with you.
And yeah, and we are in such a good place. And by the way, Jalen Hurts, the way he's approaching this offseason, the things that I'm reading, I don't know if you read all the men's health stuff, that interview, holy cow, we should be thrilled.
I'm so thrilled.
That his mindset is what it is.
He's going to get better.
After winning
a Super Bowl, he's going to get better.
He has not lost focus. This is part of why he is great for us, for our city, for our team.
I agree.
Our quarterback's keeping us locked in.
All right, Ed, a notable breakthrough performance. What do you got?
surprised you didn't yank this one already. Beatles and the Ed Sullivan Show.
Big answer. Yeah, big answer for sure. Speaking of answers, something Howie Roseman said yesterday. We'll get to that coming up in a minute. Howie with some audio on a draft day story. That's up ahead in 1 minute.
You're ready to propose, and yes, it can be a little intimidating shopping for the diamond, and that's why men all around the area will tell you, no matter what, you have to visit Benari Jewelers. They have a way of transforming intimidating into informative and confusion into crystal clarity. Here's how. The Benari team starts by putting you at ease, showing you every single thing you need to know about making that important purchase, how to evaluate the cut, the color, and the clarity. No hard sales, just education, putting you in the driver's seat. You'll feel like an expert browsing through the largest selection of diamonds, but not just any diamonds. These are hand-selected with only a few making the grade to become a Benari diamond. The others land at big box jewelers with high-pressure sales to move them along. With Benari diamonds, the value shines through, and you'll walk away with a superior diamond that you'll love for years to come. Benari Jewelers, when ordinary won't do, everything at Benari is extraordinary. Exton and Newtown Square, online at BenariJewelers.com.
All right, we'll talk to Jason Kelce coming up shortly. He'll join us in studio. Obviously, he was notably drafted a number of years ago during the Andy Reid, Howie Roseman overlap in Eagles history, which was for a couple years there. It's been Howie's show, obviously, ever since Andy left, other than the one Chip Kelly year when Chip had the reins of picking players. But Howie's done a great job. And he told a story yesterday, PhiladelphiaEagles.com. They had a feature on some stuff regarding Howie and the past. And, of course, looking ahead to tomorrow night and Friday and Saturday. Here's Howie with a draft day story from a number of years ago. And antsy Howie trying to figure out how to navigate a draft day.
Howie passed the time waiting for the 32nd pick. You know, there was one time that we didn't have a pick in a round. And I was so worried that I was going to trade future picks that I just started walking laps around the field. And I just told guys when it got like 10 picks before us to let me know so I wouldn't trade anything.
Did you still have your phone on you, though?
I did. Cheated.
So Howie didn't want to give up the goods for future years, John, so he removed himself from the war room just to...
because he couldn't trust himself to not get, like, itchy fingers.
Isn't that great?
Like, calling someone, hey, how about a deal? How about a deal? He really does have a gift. And, you know, back when we first started talking, mm-hmm. Joe, I was worried that other teams resented our GM, that other teams felt like...
I still worry about that.
I'm sure that it's there a little bit behind closed doors. Remember, we are the team that said, hey, we have a better way of doing this with the way we approach the numbers. We're going to crunch numbers. We're going to say, we're going to zig instead of zag, and we're going to say, hey, the way that you've done things for... man, 50 years, 75 years in the NFL isn't always the best way. Watch us prove you wrong. And some people, I think, resented that. And again, I'm just...
No, I understand.
Guessing.
That theory was out
I'm
there.
I'm assuming. I wasn't, you know, privy to any secret conversations, but this is just the way I assumed
sure.
It went down. And so that was a hole that Howie sort of had to dig himself out of and our organization to just... gain the respect of those around the league, the old heads around the league. And man, we have it.
I would guess right now, here are three words that came to my mind when you just said what you said there, John, that I would think other GMs think about with Howie: envy, respect, and fear.
Mm.
I mean, if Howie Roseman calls me, I got to take the call because it might help my organization, but it might hurt my organization from
right.
The other team.
I mean, you see, like, I don't want to say worry because it's a good problem to have, but at this point, I feel like Howie Roseman has fleeced so many GMs
yep.
in the league. You know, they look at what he did to the Giants last year with Saquon, and they're like, I'm not going to be an embarrassment. I'm not going to be the laughing stock of the league. I'm not even taking the call. And I do worry about that. But, I mean, they have to take the call, I guess, if they... need to make moves.
So draft day tomorrow night, day one, round one, tomorrow night. Eagles obviously with a 32nd pick, and then, you know, second round and third round on Friday, and then the rest of it on Saturday. Let's listen to Daniel Jeremiah. He was on with John Clark recently, talking about a lot of different things, including, you know, a way for the Eagles to try to bolster the defense, something that could be on Howie's mind with this draft. Let's listen to Daniel Jeremiah.
With all these picks, like, I wouldn't be surprised if you see Howie traded for a veteran, you know, use one of these picks and go see what's available on the veteran market. So you can address the defense a couple different ways. But I don't feel like, I mean, I would imagine that right after he walks out of Howie's office, that Stout's probably right behind him going in there to say, you know, what he needs. So Vic wouldn't be the last one to lobby in that way.
I'll say this. We've spent a lot of time, as we do every year, John, in the lead up to a draft, talking about what will the Eagles do with their first round pick. And for instance, regarding a veteran, we had a poll yesterday. Would you trade the first round pick for Trey Hendrickson? Would you trade it for TJ Watt? But there's a whole nother wave of conversation on this type of topic, which is later in the draft. I mean, if you remember a couple years ago, so we talk a lot about the Eagles might trade Goddard for a 4 or a 5 or a 6. The Eagles could get someone else's Goddard for a 4 or a 5 or 6. A couple years ago, the Eagles got DeAndre Swift for a 4. You know, a few years before that, the Eagles, you know, and it wasn't a draft day trade, but traded for Ronald Darby a couple years into his career, gave up Jordan Matthews in a 2. So they could they get a starting safety with a 3rd-round pick? Sure,
this
they could.
What
they could.
Howie's
they could
trade talking for about. They Howie could. Has to go take laps, have forced himself to go walk around so he doesn't see all of these potential deals available. Every move is a potential addition that Howie sees a path that could improve our team. It's amazing. We are in good hands.
They're in great hands. No question. All right, so the phones we go. Jason Kelsey shortly in here. Ken and Cinnaminson right now. Ken, good morning.
Good morning, Fred. How are you today?
Not great on the Phillies front, Ken. Not great. My God.
Man,
I'll get to that, John.
Yeah, that's bad.
I'm a little disappointed in you, John, because, you know, as a mesomorph, you should be encouraging the endomorphs of the world like Joe to get out there and work out and exercise and try and prove himself. I'm a little disappointed in you. We have to encourage Joe. You know, he's got limitations and he's working.
I'm trying, I guess.
You're really not, and I appreciate your sentiment, Ken. I agree with you.
Sort of.
Richie has been a bad teammate lately.
Well,
facts are facts.
His facts approach are facts. To this whole thing has been so endlessly frustrating. It's almost like as we enter, I already assume the worst. I already assume he won't keep up with it.
I might
so
not.
I do have a bad attitude about it.
Ken, I've already lost 5 pounds, and it's only been a few weeks, so I'm happy about that.
It's all good. It's all good. It's better than gaining 5 pounds. So
you're doing great, buddy.
Yeah. And part of that goes back to Lent. Before I was working out, I gave up chocolate. I gave up sweets, except for the 2 times I broke it. But, you know, for the most part. Well, I did give it up. I just didn't always sustain that.
This is indicative of
the problem. But, John, over 40 days, that's not so bad.
Yeah.
It's not so bad.
You're talking about a pledge
to
God.
Well, one time I forgot, just to be fair.
You forgot.
Well, when you put it like that.
No, well, I did.
No, I'm saying him. You're talking about a pledge to God, he said. And it's like, well, when you put it like that, maybe 2 times isn't great.
Yeah.
Stay away from Big Macs, Joe, too.
Hey, poison. I did last night, and that was a tempting-looking commercial. Well, oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh. Get over it. Like, everyone has the same commercial.
John is not
heeding
Ken's advice, obviously.
Seriously, like, yeah, it stinks. I love them too, but just don't eat them. They're terrible for you.
All right, Ken, what do you got?
Before I get to the Phillies, I just on the draft real quick. I'm gonna be at the draft party tomorrow night, so there's no doubt in my mind the Eagles will trade out of the first round because I'll stay around all night to see them trade out of the 32nd pick. but I just want to drop a little thing in your ear for like a day too because we're talking about Dallas Goedert and all those things. If I held a gun to your head and said, who was the leading receiver in FBS last year in college football, what name would come to your mind?
Well, first off, I don't know if that's D1 or D2 because I still get annoyed. FBS, FCS, I don't know which
it's
is which.
D1. It's D1.
Yeah.
It's
I don't know. Who led the league? Who led it in receiving?
Yes.
John, you got an answer on this?
Is it the golden guy?
No, it is.
Tyler Warren.
It is the Eagles' next tight end. In the 3rd round, from Bowling Green, Harold Fannin Jr. They're just remember that.
What a
name.
Line from Ken there. Ken really
Wait a
sold
second.
That.
From where?
Bowling Green. And the Eagles are
you
not
You know our
afraid.
New quarterback coach is from Bowling Green.
Exactly. And the Eagles are not
You know, I went to college with him. Scott Leffler.
That's pretty cool.
He's We're the same people. Year.
He's your buddy.
Yeah.
Well, look, Ken, it's an interesting thought. You know, obviously, if they don't get a tight end in the first two rounds, third round is a viable option. You know, yeah. I mean, the way these mocks are going, and even looking at Mel Kiper's big board today, you know, the two top tight ends are really expected to be gone totally before the Eagles.
Well, so, they already have a receiving tight end, and this kid can block.
What's the name?
Harold Spannen Jr.
Well, they need a blocker. All right, Ken, quickly, real quickly, give me a Phillies point.
Look, it's hard not to be repetitive about this. This is not. I'm not mad. I'm mad at Dave Dombrowski, but I'm not mad at the players. I'm not mad at anybody because this is exactly what I expected. This team cannot hit. They cannot hit spin. It's not inconsistent, Joe. I would argue that it is consistent. It's consistently the same problem. They're terrible with runners in scoring position. They can't hit spin, and they're not disciplined enough to lay off of that spin when they need to.
All right,
and
that's why
there's
yeah.
nobody alive who thought Castellanos was going to deliver with two outs with second and third.
Yeah, that one hurt. Ken, give me an answer. Notable breakthrough performance.
Every red-blooded man remembers where he was when he saw Marissa Tomei for the first time and my cousin Vinny.
You know what's so funny about that? God, is that ironic he said that. I put this on Twitter last night.
I saw you tweeted last night about her. It is a great answer, by the way.
So I had no – John, tell me if you remember this. I had no recollection of this. I'm watching last night before the Phillies game. I'm watching A Different World.
Why?
Because it was on. And then, like, why not? Sit there, why? Relax.
I watched White Man Can't Jump. It's got Kadeem Hardison in it.
All right, John, did you know Marissa Tomei was a regular on A Different World? I had no recollection of that for one season.
No.
And this would be before my cousin
was
Vinny.
She one of
she was
Lisa
one of the girls.
Bonet's friends.
Yeah, she's one
at,
of the yeah, she's one,
school?
Yeah, one of the students. I had no idea. I had zero idea of that.
All right, I watched that show too.
It was a good show.
I loved it.
Different World
was really good.
It was a good show.
Yeah, it was the spinoff from The Cosby Show. Everyone watched The Cosby Show. I think most everyone watched A Different World,
too. It was a big deal. And then Lisa Bonet went back to The Cosby Show, that whole deal. All right, let's get to the Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin has a new 2025 Chevy Trax in stock now, starting at only $21,495. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. Devin, what's your answer for today's poll question? Everyone can weigh in at 215-592-9494. Mm-hmm. Devin, who do you blame most for the Phil struggles this season? The players, Dombrowski, Rob Thompson?
It's tough, but I think the players right now, because, you know, they have the talent, at least on offense, they have the talent. I blame Dombrowski when it comes to the bullpen, but overall, the players, we need to be more productive in their at-bats.
So this is a tough one for me to answer because I want to say I blame the players the most because they're being paid so much money and there's past accomplishment that says they should be better. But the argument from Dombrowski is we knew their flaws after last season.
Mm-hmm.
And
did nothing.
It was Dombrowski's job to do something about it.
Yeah.
And listen, shame on me for being someone who, and James, don't cut this audio, shame on me for believing that players who had shown over a couple years that this is what they are would be different this year. And it's not that I expected them to be that much different, but I did think the starting pitching, I'll say this, I didn't really expect the offense to be that different. I really didn't. But I thought the starting pitching would carry the day, which ironically, John, it's been outstanding, and it's still not carrying the day. Because the bullpen and the lineup have been so problematic. And again, the bullpen's been worse, but the lineup's a bigger problem because it's harder to fix.
Well, like the starting pitching hasn't even been as outstanding as it's been.
It's been
I think the bullpen
years.
Is actually harder to fix right now because you can't. That's where I blame Dombrowski. I think he should have brought in more reliable arms, maybe even like a set closer in the offseason, where now they can't do anything until at least the trade deadline, and then what are you going to trade?
Yeah, part of the reason I disagree, though, on the bullpen fix is at some point starters are going to go in there, and I'm even talking, because I know you're going short-term, I'm going over a 2 to 3 year span of time. Like, you can always shuttle guys in and out. Like, Trey Turner, James, there's no fix for that, right?
No.
No one's taking Trey Turner.
No, he just has to be better. That's the only fix, and you know, I don't know why you would count on that.
It's a thing, man. It really is. All right, 215-592-9494. So you can weigh in on who you blame the most from the Philly standpoint, the players, Dombrowski or Rob Thompson. I certainly put Rob Thompson last for that poll. I don't think he should be anywhere near a leading vote getter. With that said, he's going to be the first guy out the door. I'm telling you guys, If they do not play better baseball in the next month, he could get clipped. And that's a shame. I love the guy. I really am. I'm a big fan of him. But they are not responding right now to him. And with how much money the owner has put on the table for these players, if Rob Thompson can't get more out of them, then he's going to be gone. I mean, it was, what, June 2nd in 2022 that Joe Girardi got fired?
June 1st, I believe.
I think June
2nd was the first game that Topper managed, but it was an off day. I'm pretty sure it was the
first. I don't think so. I think we went to the game June 1st. They won it. He got fired the next day.
I think James might be right.
Well, we'll check. Anyway. All right. Jason Kelce famously said a number of years ago, hungry dogs run faster. Phils don't look to me to be very hungry right now. But it's early in the morning. It's probably breakfast time for Jason Kelce. Maybe he's hungry right now.
I am very hungry.
Yeah. From Garage Beer. We know and we love him, Mr. How are you, Jason?
I'm doing great. How you doing, Joe?
How you been, man?
Doing great. I mean, listen, I just had a baby. Life
congratulations.
Is good. Yeah, yeah,
congratulations.
I slept very little, and I feel like even wrong saying that, knowing what Kylie dealt with last night. So I'll stop complaining here. But yeah, it was, yeah, it's a newborn. She's beautiful. Family's great. We're Easter weekend down to the shore doing Easter egg hunts and all that stuff. Almost watched the Phillies. Just talking about the Phillies blowing 11-4 lead over the weekend. But yeah, other than that, it was an outstanding day. Yeah.
How are the older siblings taking to the new baby girl? Is everyone fitting in well?
Yeah, they're all. I mean, the two oldest ones, which I mean, oldest like 5 and 4, are Wyatt and Ellie. They are fantastic with the new one. The one that's really struggling is Benny, who's 2 years old, and she really still wants to be attached to mom, but mom doesn't have the ability to do that. She has another human literally attached to her. And for me, it's selfishly awesome because Benny's like just over 2 years old, like at such an adorable age. So this has happened with each one of my kids where when the new one's born, it's dad's job to kind of take the one that needs the comforting still. Mm-hmm. And it's been a lot of fun selfishly for me to be with Bennett while Callie's been really hunkered down with
sure.
Him.
Well,
that's
congrats,
also
congrats, man.
The yeah. age where Benny mm-hmm. can run and get up every flight of steps and yes. down every flight of steps, and everything has to be baby proof.
Yeah, she's still kind of terrible at all of it. But
yeah,
she
so you have to be
it.
One yeah. step in front or yeah. behind her for yeah. every step that she takes. So yeah. this is
you can never leave her alone,
but it's also exhausting.
Yeah, it's the most exhausting age from that perspective.
For
yeah.
sure, you can't just like let her go do whatever she wants to do.
Exactly,
honor,
that's not
not even for 5 minutes
no.
or like 2 minutes.
Not
you know,
even
yeah,
for 1 second.
But
yeah.
Also, this like in like one of the beautiful things about kids is like they're experience everything, like all these things you take for granted on a daily yeah. basis. They're like, wow, look at all that flower. I'm like, I've looked at that flower for 10 years and yeah. never freaking noticed this flower. And she's just starting to be able to articulate all these things that she's been thinking. And man. It's a lot of fun.
It's right awesome.
Now. Yeah.
Jason Kelce with us here for about the next hour. You can weigh in 215-592-9494. So the draft's tomorrow. How close have you followed this draft lead up, Jason? Obviously, you've been busy, to say the least, with the family. Are yeah. are you on top of who you like? Who you know? Like, do you have a feel for that?
I'm on top of some of the offensive line prospects for sure, and I'm watching some of those guys. And I'm in talks still with you know, I still keep in touch with Stout and
yeah.
people within the building. I did not watch a lot of college football this season. I keep in touch with kind of the coverage leading up to it. So everything everybody else is seeing, you know, guys that I think are really talented and great experts at evaluating these guys, I like to listen to what they say. But at the same time, you know, I try not to get too caught up with the pre-draft stuff because, as everybody knows, what happens and what is said before the draft is way different than what happens after. I really love the moment these guys are picked, when they get in the building, and you really get to start to see who they are, how they interact, what motivates them. Because that's really ultimately what culminates to seeing which guys pan out.
Yeah. You know, interesting tweet, John. I saw a tweet from Zach Berman a couple days ago. And I want to present this one, everyone listening, because I thought this was a great point that we really haven't examined much. So Berman a couple days ago tweeted, and we're going to get to the Cam Jurgens thing. I know, Jason, you're super psyched about Cam getting that deal. So listen to this Berman tweet a few days ago. He said, "What can the Cam Jurgens story tell you about the Eagles draft plans?" Question mark. And he goes, "Something I harp on every year, don't look at this year's needs. The Eagles don't want to use the draft to find their starters this year. Project their 2026 and 2027 needs. It's the way they've approached the draft for much of Howie Roseman's time as GM, especially since 2016. You know, John, we've talked a lot this year about they need an edge rusher, they need a safety, they need a D tackle, or at least they could certainly use one. But what Zach Berman's saying is maybe expand your mind.
Yeah.
You know, because...
don't think... Everyone needs to stop thinking that rookies can come in and play, because last year is such an outlier. Last year, us having our top two rookies come in and be studs and be starters, that is so weird. That is crazy outside the box. That never happens. And if it does, it's like out of need and they stink and they're losing games for you as often as they're making plays. We got, man, so fortunate. And it's just wonderful having that level of excellence and nailing it in the draft. But these picks as players, you look at these kids who come in and you're like, oh, man. Can't even look at his hands when he's trying to catch. Like, what is he doing? Like, why?
Veteran John Ritchie here.
Is his technique as it is? Yeah. Like, seriously, every single one of them, and you're rolling your eyes, and they are works in progress. And you can't imagine that guy is ever going to be able to do what he's supposed to do at that position.
But the irony
is that year.
Yeah, but both you guys, ironically. And not first or second round picks. Both of you started as rookies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but to John's point, that often doesn't happen, especially when you get later in the draft.
And I was told repeatedly by every coach on my team that for every rookie that you start, you lose a game. I can't tell you how many times I heard that adage, hey, this is the truth, rookie. Every rookie you start, you're going to lose. There's the loss. Then the next week, there's the loss. Thanks a lot, rookie.
Yeah, well.
So, I mean, out of necessity in my case, and I don't know what the situation was for.
It was similar. I mean, I was drafted into the perfect situation. I mean, Howard Mudd had just been brought in. He wanted a more athletic center. We had Jamal Jackson, who was coming back off of injury, who was not the style center that he wanted. So I had a leg up. It was very clear from early on that they wanted me to start, and by they, I mean Howard mostly. And I got every opportunity to take that position. And I played really well, but I was still, looking back, it's so funny watching old tape of yourself as you get older in the league and you're like, what was I doing? Why was I doing that? Like, it's awful technique. Like, I was getting away with it because I was younger and stronger maybe, but there's a ton for these rookies to learn and get better at. And especially when you have the amount of veterans that the Eagles have had for years and still have over there. Like Lane Johnson, whatever guy's going to be coming, he's going to be learning from one of the best tackles to ever play the game.
Right.
And usually, top 15 pick, those guys are expected to play right away, typically. But outside of that, most of these guys should not start. And if they are starting, usually that's a position of need or some type of reason that you don't want to be the
case. Or a really bad team.
Yeah.
I mean, the bottom line is a guy that gets picked, let's put it this way, 33rd pick has a better chance to start than the 32nd pick. 33rd pick is a horrible team. It's the first pick in the second round. 32nd pick is the best team in football.
Football team, yeah.
You know what I mean?
So were you mad when you were drafted? Were you?
What kind of question is that?
Which Seltzer, outweighed?
Seltzer, your dream, came true. Yeah. Were you mad?
Right. A bit of a weird one.
So, where you were drafted?
Well, that's true. Did that tick you off? And then how did the opportunity of being able to play right away? How did that factor in?
I didn't know that it was going to be that. That opportunity was going to be there until. Early in training camp when I was kind of told, like, hey, like, do you want to play this year? We like what we see so far.
Wow. Get all the way till training camp.
Get Well, till we didn't have, so I came in the lockout year.
We had
no OTAs.
Yep.
No off-season program. My first day getting the playbook was 2 days before training camp.
That's
no
wild.
That is wild.
And you started
as a
rookie. Yeah.
That also means Jason was a dream teamer,
right
by the way.
It was. That was a very fun year to be an Eagle. Complete chaos.
More fun for you probably than for us.
I mean, I'm playing with all these like living legends.
You are.
Like,
no, you're right. Player. You're right.
It's mind-blowing enough that I'm snapping the ball to Michael Vick.
Right.
And then Mike goes out and in comes Vince Young. And
that's
I'm like,
awesome.
What the heck is happening? It was incredible. I played with just like
that's
really,
good, man.
Wow.
Huge name players. And like it was a lot of talk in the town. This is back when we were at Lehigh.
Yep.
So many fans came to the practice. I remember just like, what the? There were more fans at the practice than were at college games of mine at times. And it was a very eye-opening experience going straight to training camp with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, I'm sure. All right, let's get some calls in here. With Jason. Well, yeah, that's a whole other matter. All right, with Jason here, phone calls 215-592-9494. Obviously, not good with the Phils, guys. I mean, just it's not good. And if they don't get their act together, the manager's going to get fired. And I don't think he's even close to the primary culprit. But these guys aren't playing well at all. Jordan right now. Jordan, good morning.
Morning show. Good morning, Philadelphia. How are we today?
I mean, great. Pretty good. Got a draft
Phillies,
tomorrow.
Right?
We got except for the Phillies. That's right.
Jason, it's an honor to be on with you. And I just want to say, hey, Philly, respect this man. He's really kind with his time when he's out in public. Nothing I hate more than Kelsey being harassed. Happened at my shore town a couple summers ago in Margate. Come on back to Ventnor and Margate, Jason. We're going to take care of you. But please, guys, respect this man. He's a treasure for us.
There you go.
Yeah, appreciate it. Everybody is awesome. I get this is part of the path I chose being out in the public or whatever.
Yeah.
Listen, you get to make people's day, especially kids coming up to you, and that Margate situation was unfortunate, but it's not going to keep me from going to Stephen Cookies. That's for damn
sure. There you go.
Oh, man. Stephen Cookies, baby.
There's a good stretch there. Tomatoes and
oh, my God.
I'm a big fan of that zone right there.
Yeah, yeah.
Big fan.
The duck at Stephen Cookies has got to be
the
best thing ever.
Okay.
Oh, definitely get the duck with the blueberry sauce and the corn souffle. It's one of the best dishes ever.
All blueberried. That and then the blueberry pie.
Speaking of food real quick, I'm actually flying to Copenhagen today. Richie, you complimented me on being a dad yesterday. So my older son plays Hendrix. My younger son loves fine dining. We're going to Noma in Copenhagen, and he doesn't know about it. I'm picking him up from school.
Wow.
Today.
So that's the best restaurant in the world, or at least ranked as the best restaurant in the world.
It has been several times. They retire it like you get in the Hall of Fame. So
yeah.
I can't wait to surprise him with that. But
wow.
I was in Copenhagen a couple of years ago, up very late night after a meal, listening to Lorenzen throw a no-hitter.
Wow.
So potentially, I will go back to Copenhagen, and it ain't going to be Aaron Nola throwing a no-hitter, but let's see. Let's see who we can pull through. A couple of things from the Phillies game last night. You know, yesterday I moaned and complained about situational hitting. Oh, my God. It's almost like I willed them to be horrible in those situations. But, you know, three things I picked up on specifically. Romano is making a noise like he's hitting a tennis ball in a serve when he throws. And I don't know if the sound was particularly good, but I don't know a lot of pitchers who make that grunt when they throw.
You know, Nola was making a noise the other night, too.
I wonder if the mic, not the mic, what do you call it? The boom mic? What do you call that?
It's been weird. The first game, they had all those. I think there's something going on with the mics at Citi Field.
They're picking up more.
I'm with you. You don't hear that often, but I'm sure pitchers make more noise than we hear.
And my point, Jordan, is
the grunt. You're activating your core if you're grunting. That's a good
Monica
sign.
Celis. Do you remember her?
Tennis? Man.
I mean, that's pretty much any female tennis player.
No,
time,
but
right?
She was.
So it was like another level.
Oh,
she was. It was
10 different levels.
Blood curdling. Every
that was
hit.
A good grunt.
It was unbelievable.
Good grunt.
Yeah. It was like it should have exhausted her that level of screaming.
Oh, it was
that
ooh,
amount
ooh,
of time.
Ooh, ooh. Every time.
That was an impression. I'll cut that audio.
Second point, we keep talking about Kirkering being a high leverage guy.
Man.
I'm not seeing it. You know, he's letting the inherited runners on and I like this kid. He's got a lot of potential, but he just seems very deer in headlights now when he comes on with runners that he's inherited.
Did it ever feel we've been told for a long time now that Kirkering he's been inserted in these high leverage spots for a long time, it doesn't feel like he's ever made good on the promise.
Well, he did last year.
Was expected.
Well, last year
not
was the ERA.
Like I want,
he was like
man.
A mid-2 ERA last year. I mean,
I guess it just hasn't felt as dominant as I was told that the goods were going to be.
Yeah, he's been very disappointing this season.
I don't understand why. I don't understand because I can see his stuff breaks hard. I can see when he wants to, you know, get behind it, he's going to throw 98.
You know what he's doing, John? He's pulling a Sir Anthony. He's not living up to what you thought he'd be. And ultimately, they dumped Sir Anthony because of that.
But Jordan, they kept him around for about 5 years wondering.
Jordan, give me a notable breakthrough. You can win the Phillies tickets.
When Janet Jackson's right nipple broke through her dress.
Oh, my God.
Yes! What a great answer.
That is outrageous. So I write these things down. Janet
Literal
Jackson
interpretation.
And nipple. All right, fair enough. By the way, it's 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia as we broadcast today from the Tasty Cake Studio. We got Jason with us. We may not have Christopher Sanchez with us later this season if he's injured. I know James is extremely concerned about it. Let's listen to Rob Thompson after the game last night. If you missed it, Chris Sanchez taken out after 2 innings. Obviously, he's been one of their 2 best starters this year. Not as sharp early last night. Not a disaster, but not to his same level. They even talked after the game, and JT talked. You could tell in the bullpen session before the game, he just didn't seem quite the same. But Sanchez didn't say anything to Rob Thompson before the game. 2 innings in, Rob Thompson noticed something, went over to him. Listen to this exchange.
Slow forearm tightness. Saw the doc. Not expecting any structural damage. We'll reevaluate. We'll know in the next couple days.
When did you first start complaining of it?
The first I heard of it was after the second inning. I went down and I talked to him and said, how you doing? And he said, usually he goes, oh, I'm good. Or I said, are you all right? And usually he says, yeah, I'm good. And this time he just nodded. I said, tell me what's going on. And he said, I'm just, my arm's a little bit tight. I said, okay, that's it. We're done.
Will he go for an MRI tomorrow?
We'll know more tomorrow.
Okay, that's it. We're done. So obviously Topper pulled it quick when he heard that news. James, I know you're particularly freaked out on this one.
Yeah, forearm tightness and Tommy John go together. You know, it is a harbinger. Now, again, it doesn't mean it's a lock. He's going to get Tommy John, but usually or a fair amount of time, you know, when you see a forearm injury as the injury preceding it, a lot of times Tommy John surgery follows it. It's a bad sign.
That would be a disaster. I mean, because this team needs excellent starting pitching because the bullpen's clearly not going to be good. It's just not. And then the lineup can be better, but I think for the most part, they are what they are, meaning they're going to be inconsistent. This team requires excellent starting pitching to make the playoffs in a loaded National League. This would be an enormous setback. We'll see. We'll find out. 215-592-9494. You know, Jason, all the times we've had you in here, and I've heard you speak publicly, obviously, for over a decade.
Yeah.
I feel like we know so much, but I don't remember hearing this. Draft day experience for you.
Yeah.
Because all these kids tomorrow, not just the guys that get taken by the Eagles, but all these, you know, a couple hundred guys, next couple days, it's, you know, a dream's going to come true. What was that day and those two, was it 2 days back then?
It was 3 days.
Back then?
I believe.
Okay.
I think it was 3 days at that point.
I think it was 2, but I could. What was it like for you? I mean,
so I knew I knew I wasn't going to be a first round guy, and I knew I wasn't likely going to be a second or third round guy. So my family and everybody, we designed something for the third day, 4 through 7, and we, you know, I didn't know where it was going to happen there or if it was going to happen. But I had been told there was a good chance I was going to go in the 5th, 6th round, so that's what I was expecting.
So you had your agent already, or
had my agent already? Yep, agent is already secured, but he's not there on draft day. We stayed in Cincinnati. We went bowling because I didn't want to watch the draft. I felt like that would have been like
nerve-wracking.
Just kind of like try and sit after pick after pick after.
Even day three.
Even day three.
So you were not watching it as it happened.
I was not watching it, and we start bowling at the start of the day, and We finish bowling, and I still haven't been drafted, so that's not good. It's like, all right, now what do we do? So I went back to the house, and I'm just in my room. Everybody's out in the living room. A lot of my teammates in college, Travis, my parents, my uncle, and my phone gets I'm kind of falling down my phone at this point. Mm-hmm. I might not get drafted. I don't really know what's happening. The Chiefs had selected. They were one of the teams that was really interested. They picked Rodney Hudson early, so I'm like, they're probably out on a center now.
Mm-hmm.
I only took other two top 30 visits were the Eagles and the Rams. So I'm like, I'm going to be undrafted. But I saw the Eagles had two picks coming up back-to-back, and I'm like, all right, maybe there's a chance that this happens here. And sure enough, I get a call from a 215 number. It's Andy Reid. Have you been any accidents? Have you been any car crashes? And my heart's going a million miles an hour. And I'm like, no, I'm good. He's like, okay, you're healthy. Everything's fine. And I was like, yeah, everything's great. And he says, all right, here's how it's going to work. We're going to draft you with this next pick. I'm going to hand the phone to our general manager, Howie Roseman. Then I'm going to hand the phone to our offensive coordinator, Marty Morningwick. Then I'm going to hand the phone to our offensive line coach, Howard Mutt. And I was like, all right, sounds good. And he's like, all right, you got that? I'm like, I got that. And he's like, all right, what did I just say? And I'm like, I have no idea. And right away, he's like, you're going to be playing in front of 70,000 people in Philly. I need you to have better composure than this. Like, yeah. He's giving me crap already. So
wow.
It was awesome. My dad, at some point, you're still on the phone while the pick is happening out there. So you hear people cheering. And then my dad comes in and he's crying. And it's just, like you said, you're anxious and you're frustrated with watching how the day goes, and you want to be picked higher. You think you're better than what's being you're given credit for. But the moment they call your name, for me at least, it's just such an unbelievable experience. Your whole life you've worked for it. You've played this game. All of your friends and family are there, at least I think if you do it right. And it's just an awesome, awesome moment.
That's amazing. How much did you know about Philadelphia? I mean, being one state over.
I really didn't know anything. I had been for like a visit. I think we played like a lacrosse tournament here or something like that in high school.
Wow.
So we did like the Liberty Bell, ate a cheesesteak from like Geno's or Pat's.
Yeah.
And that was my extent, right? I had no idea what I was in store for. My agent told me right away, he's like, you're going to fit in. This is a town that loves offensive linemen. They love football. Like you really, this is going to be an awesome fit for you, Jason. So I'm like, all right, if you say so.
Yeah.
Jason. Nailed it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really just it was an awesome moment. It really was, and I think for everybody, like it's just how many other professions do you find out you're gonna get your job like that? Like
it's so weird.
It's like you have no idea if it's gonna happen, when it's gonna happen, especially if you're a later on guy, and it's just this incredible feeling of I'm officially an NFL player.
Yeah, I think doctors get assigned where they're
residencies,
headed, right?
Yes, for residencies. But even then, it's not like that. Like you apply first, like four things or five things, and then you get ranked, and then you find out well before. This is like, hey, get on a plane. You're coming to Philly.
Have the option to say, unless you're Eli Manning, you say, oh, I'm not going to go.
And there's more choice with the you still choose which residency you go to.
That's
here,
wild,
it's like
man.
You're going wherever they tell you you're going.
All right, let's get some calls in. Jason in studio with us for about an hour. Let's talk to Rick in Easton right now. Good morning, Rick.
You know, Joe, it's amazing how you just hear about a grunt and you come up with Monica Seles. That's how your brain works. It's incredible. Think about it.
Well, it was her, Jenna Jameson, and I went with Monica.
Oh, my God.
By the way, Jason,
man.
Good decision.
Sure.
Just say.
So, Jason, once again, it's an honor because last time I spoke to you, I didn't get a chance to say this, and you're going to be a Hall of Famer, and in Philadelphia, we have probably the fewest amount of Hall of Famers out of all the cities that have four major sports, and that is probably going to be your next greatest milestone that you're going to experience, and we're all proud and happy for you, my friend.
Thank you very much, Rick. I appreciate it.
So, the Phillies. Got to go from Jason Kelly to the Phillies. Wow.
There you go. That's right.
So, why would opposing pitchers throw anything right now near the strike zone?
It's a great point. We're back to seeing what we saw versus the Mets last year. And look, to their credit, they had improved on that in the first 2.5-3 weeks. But there's been a reversion, and it's really Rick, I said it earlier, and I'll say it again. The Phillies players, most of them, are good enough to be above average, but not good enough to be truly great. Not good enough to be truly impactful.
remember a couple weeks ago I said, be careful how you throw that word great around.
I know. Listen.
The Phillies right now. But don't beat yourself up because
you're Well, I am a little bit. I mean, listen, I thought they were going to be great. I said it probably 100 times back in February and March. And it looks like I was wrong. Now, we'll see. I mean, I am struck, Rick, by the fact that, you know, 3 years ago and 2 years ago, the Phillies started off terrible and became a really, really good, you know, playoff team. Obviously, the Mets last year pulled a similar thing. I am particularly struck from a recency standpoint with the Eagles, you know, turning in early October as a 2-2 team. And I would say even thereafter, still struggling to an extent, even though they were winning games, not playing nearly like they did versus Washington and KC to end the season. So growth within a season can happen. But I think after so many seasons of seeing this collection of guys, and I'm primarily talking about Trey and Castellanos and Bohm, at a certain point it's like, man, I guess this is just what they are. So that is concerning.
And what's real frustrating is you look at the Mets lineup from top to bottom, at least they're competing on almost every pitch. It seems like even when the Phillies go up 3-0 counts, they get wheeled back in and then strike out. And I know you don't want to beat up Harper, but Harper has been coming up small, you know, in big situations.
He has. Yeah.
Like Turner is. It's almost like, here's a scary thought, it's almost like as Rojas seems to be finding himself, I almost want to put Rojas in the number two slot.
And, Rojas.
And let Trey Turner figure it out now, like they tried to do with Bohm. There's a lot of questions.
That's where we're at.
It's crazy.
The numbers say you might be right.
I'd rather have Johan Rojas at the plate than Trey Turner.
The Mets bat Soto 2, the Phillies bat Rojas 2. All right. All right, Rick, I need an answer, pal. Give me a great breakthrough performance.
If you saw a great little sequel, not sequel, it was like a documentary, actually, kind of, sort of, it was called The Offer. Al Rudy, the producer, wanted Al Pacino, and Francis Coppola did not.
Mm.
And in 1972, what a breakout for The Godfather with Al Pacino.
Wonderful answer, Rick. Fantastic phone call. 215-592-9494. Coming up, more on this draft. I got Mel Kiper's big board, how he ranks the players. Where some of these notable guys we've talked a lot about from an Eagles standpoint are ranked up. We'll get to that. Options for the Eagles at 32. More of Jason's thoughts on the draft. The Cam Jurgens thing. I know Jason's so proud of Cam Jurgens, obviously becoming the center and now becoming a really good one that gets a big-time payday. That and more. Phone calls on all of these topics. Draft day tomorrow. The Phils, it's not good right now on 94 WIP.